She's gone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercy. Thank you for your compassions toward us. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit in our lives. You keep guiding us through your Holy Spirit. You keep instructing us, teaching us, edifying us through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the revelations we have received through your Holy Spirit. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for frustrating the plans of the enemy that were against us. Thank you, Lord, for doing great things in our lives and situations to show forth the praise of your name. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for meeting us at the point of our need. Thank you for giving us breakthroughs on every side. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are here this evening to learn at your feet, to study your word, and to learn new things that are in your word for us. I ask that you speak to every heart by your Holy Spirit. Increase our knowledge of you, even our understanding of your word and of your personality, in the name of Jesus. Have your way in this place, O Lord. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue with our teaching series. We have been teaching, doing teaching on this topic: the Christian's relationship to society. The Christian's relationship to society. And we have talked on several topics under this broad topic. Last Tuesday, we talked on a topic that says we are commanded to be honest in our dealings. That is, be honest in your dealings with people. Be honest in your dealings with people, both believers and unbelievers. Today we are going to point three. Point C, which is, do not bring reproach upon the cause of Christ. Do not bring reproach upon cause of Christ. Cause there spells CHUSE. CHUSE. That is what Christ stands for. The ministry of Christ on earth. The kingdom of Christ on earth. The church of Christ on earth. Yeah, the things that Christ is doing on earth. So do not be a reproach. Do not bring, sorry, do not bring as the topic. Do not bring reproach upon the cause of Christ. Let us read Romans chapter 14. Verse 16. Romans 14. Verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18 says, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. He that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Yeah. In these verses, you will see all the apostles talking to the Romans. Yeah, telling them that the good things you are doing, don't let it be evil spoken of. Or maybe I should put it this way. Don't let the good things you are doing for God, or you are doing because you are a Christian, become evil in the process. So which means good can turn to evil if we are not careful. Good can become evil, especially when the heart behind that good thing is wrong. When the heart, the mind behind the good thing is not pure, eventually that good thing will become evil. You can also say, I can also say it like this. when the motive behind the good thing is wrong, eventually that good thing will turn to evil. So even when you believe you are doing good, be careful. Be careful. Make sure that it's coming from a good heart, so that you don't bring reproach on the cause of Christ. Make sure everything you do as a believer, or the good things you do as a believer. I don't expect a believer to do evil. And sure, God don't expect that as well. That's why I said everything you do as a believer, let it be that your motive behind those things are pure and righteous. Sometime ago, I was hearing a man speaking some things on YouTube. He have a YouTube channel, and I wasn't comfortable with many of the things he was saying, though he called himself a man of God. But he doesn't appear to be a man of God to me. Because he is bringing reproach on the cause of Christ with the things he is saying. What are the things that man was saying? One of them was concerning paying tithe, concerning giving in the church, paying tithe in the church. And then he was giving examples of some people by paying tithe. And for a long time, for years, they were paying tithe, and yet nothing was changing in their finances. Now, those people expected that they would see changes in their finances, as their pastors promised. But after paying tithe for a long time, they saw no changes. In fact, they were saying the opposite. So that man was now saying, he was saying all of these tithe payment is a scam. That is not how we get blessings from God. More like telling people to not pay tithe. And he said many other things. But that is an example of bringing reproach on the cause of Christ. That man was doing, and what the person who went to him to confess that he was paying tithe to a particular church for many years and didn't see any changes in his or her financial life, that person also is bringing reproach on the cause of Christ. How? Now, the truth remains that the word of God cannot be broken. The word of God does not fail. Yeah, but the word of God can fail people, especially when their motive is not pure. So people think getting prosperity is just in plain sight. Who tells you that? Yeah, getting financial prosperity is not about paying tithe. Actually, it's about obeying God, having a strong and right relationship with God. That is how you prosper. When your relationship with God is right, it's correct. Now, when you follow Christ, as the Bible teaches, you deny yourself, you obey every instruction in the scriptures, you carry your cross, you discover your purpose and start fulfilling that purpose. Yeah, so prospering is more of obedience than it is of just doing one thing in the Bible. Yeah, so just picking tithe and say, okay, let me pay tithe and I will prosper. Whereas there are other instructions in the Bible, love your enemies, pray for your enemies, be dead to self, walk in the spirit, don't walk in the flesh, forgive people, love God with the whole of your heart, be sacrificial, serve God with all your might. All of those other instructions in the Bible, you put them aside. And then you now pick only tithe. And then you say, let me pay tithe and then I'll prosper financially. It's a lie. You are not likely to prosper. If you prosper, it's just by God's mercy that you prosper. Yeah. So you don't just pick one out of God's commandments and think you will prosper just by doing one out of many other commandments. The kingdom of God doesn't work like that. Yeah, so neglecting all the details of God's will and sticking to just one and thinking that alone will bring you prosperity is very wrong. Yeah, it's very wrong. Now, these people that are saying they are paying tithes and nothing is changing their finances, these are the same people that are telling lies, committing adultery, committing fornications, stealing. Yeah, committing fornication, they are stealing. They are polluting their lives with all kinds of things. Yeah, they are proud. They are full of bitterness, malice, all forms of immorality. Yeah, they did not, they didn't look at those other areas of their lives and abandoned them. But they're only telling God that, God, I've been paying tithe all these years. I did not see any change. Then, who need your tithe? Stop paying the tithe. Yeah. Because even that tithe is not acceptable in the sight of God. Yeah. When your life is so full of sin, and then you think you can please God with tithe. When your life is so full of many wrong things that you should correct, and then you think you can just please God with giving him money. That is wrong. God will not accept such things. I mean, God will not accept such offering or tithe. The pastor can accept it, but it's not acceptable in heaven. Yeah. So my point is that this so-called man of God that was saying those things on his YouTube channel is bringing reproach on the cause of Christ. And the people that are also supporting him are also bringing reproach on the cause of Christ. They are saying that the word of God is a lie. And the word of God cannot lie. But even Jesus did not go against faith and offering. There was no place in the Bible with Jesus. In fact, Jesus taught the disciples to give more than tithe and offerings. He taught them to give sacrificially to God. Jesus taught people to give everything to God, not just 10%. That was the kind of teaching Jesus taught his disciples. Yeah, so I know one would teach that kind of teaching and still go against tithe. Yeah, because tithe is just like a way of training yourself to give to God. Like paying tithe is like you are starting from the nursery school, you know. When a child starts growing, the child passes through the nursery school, then the primary school, then the secondary school, then the tertiary. So paying tithe is like you're starting to learn how to give to God. That is how it is in the New Testament dispensation. It's like you are learning how to give to God, like you're in the nursery school, learning to give to God. So you're supposed to grow beyond that. Yeah, so that was how Jesus taught his disciples, who later became apostles. That was the pattern they were following. Yeah. So if Jesus taught giving to the point of 100% giving of your properties, of your possessions, then how would Jesus talk against Titan? That was why he did not. In fact, he approved it. He was talking to the Pharisees. He said, "You pay tithe, and that is good." Yeah, you can check your Bible is there. He was telling them, he said, "You pay tithe of many things, and that is good." Or he was rebuking them that that though you pay tithe of many things, yet you are lacking in your character, in your dealings with people. You don't have love. You don't show mercy. You don't have compassion. Yeah, so Jesus did not abolish paying tithe. Yeah, he even wants us to do more than 10% of our income. So anyone that starts picking certain truths in the Bible and start twisting it into lies, you can stay away from such person. Yeah, anyone that begins to attack the truth in the Word of God, the truth in the Bible, anyone that begins to attack that truth and begin to say that it is not as it is revealed by God in the Bible, and begin to say people should do something different from the truth, stay away from that person. Yeah, be far from that person. as I was saying, let not then your good be evil spoken of. The good things you have been doing, make sure that it doesn't become evil in the sight of God and in the sight of men. And how you ensure that? By making sure that those good things are coming from a good heart. And you're not doing it to impress anyone. Yeah. But that you are doing it to impress God. So when you give from a good heart, give from a pure heart, a willing heart, a cheerful heart, not because you are trying to impress anyone, but because you are trying to impress God, not because you are trying to manifest pride or increase your pride, but you are trying to gain some special favor, yeah, from whoever. You know, there are people who give because they want to gain special favor from the man of God. They want the man of God to treat them specially, yeah, to start treating them specially than the rest of the people in the church or in the ministry. Yeah, that is the wrong motive of giving. Some people, they give because they want to control the person they are giving to. They want to control that person. They want the person to start doing what they want. So if they tell the person to do anything, they want the person to do exactly that, because they are the financial pillars. They are the financial pillars of that person's life and ministry. So they feel like, if I give you anything I then I have to control you to do whatever you want. That is the wrong motive of giving. Yeah, so let us do good with the right. That the Lord will help you. Yeah, so that good thing will not turn to evil in the sight of God. So that it won't be rejected by God. So let us do good from the right heart. Yeah, there are some people that I, as a person, stop them from the good thing they were doing. For me, I personally stopped them because I realized that it was not coming from their right heart. I realized that their motive was wrong because God revealed it to me. So I stopped them from continuing to do the good things they were doing. So if I, as a person, would not want that, how much more God? Let us look at another scripture. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, verse 5, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Yeah, so here, Apostle Paul was saying that we should give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Now, I want to read this from New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 3. We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. Yeah, I decided to read it here in NLT so you can understand it very well. Let me read it again. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 3. We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. Verse 4. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. Praise the Lord. Yeah. He said we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us. So, are you living in such a way that no one will stumble because of you? You living in such a way that people don't fall into sin because of you. Yeah. You need to ask yourself that question. The way you talk, the way you react to situations, the way you dress, the way you appear in the public, are you not making others to stumble? Some Christian sisters will say, there's nothing bad with my dressing. After all, I know of a pastor's wife. She wears trousers. She wears things that that are tight, things that reveal some parts of her breast, and she's a pastor's wife. So why are you saying I should not wear things like that? You can see from this scripture, men who want to make heaven, saying that they live in such a way that others don't stumble because of them. Yeah, are you following the Bible, or you're following a pastor's wife or a woman of God? Yeah, so you should be careful with your life, with how you live your life. For the sake of those of you that just joined, the topic says, do not bring reproach upon the cross of Christ. Don't bring reproach. Don't bring shame on the name of Christ, on the work of Christ, on the ministry of Christ. Don't bring reproach upon the cause of Christ. So in your character, in your attitude, in your lifestyle, are you not bringing reproach on the cause of Christ? Are you not causing others to stumble because you felt that you have liberty to do whatever you want? Is not that liberty of yours already bringing reproach to the name of Jesus? So be careful. Be careful with how you live your life. Now let us read that that scripture further. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now I'll read verse 4. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. In fact, in verse 5, he went further to say, we have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, walked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. Yeah, so he said he had gone through different kind of situations, and yet in those situations, he and the others with him behaved themselves. They made sure they did not become a stumbling block for others. They honored the cause of Christ. They did not bring shame on the cause of Christ. There are some Christians that when they start fighting, and then you see them as they fight, you will not think of them as a Christian. You will think of them as an unbeliever. Yeah, because when they start fighting, I don't know how to describe it. Yeah, just the way unbelievers would start, you know, we start using or speaking abusive words during the quarrel. Sometimes even physical assault. Yeah, you see people beating themselves, punching themselves with blows, and they say they are ministers of God. How can they be ministers of God? Yeah, they are not ministers of God. In fact, they don't know God. Yeah, such people don't know God. If you cannot control your temper, you cannot control your anger, you are not qualified to be a minister of God. Because eventually you are going to disgrace Jesus in the public places. You're going to bring reproach to the name of Christ, to the cause of Christ. Yeah. So you must be able to control your anger. Any reactions rising from inside of you? Do you think it's easy for grown-up people, in fact, anointed people, to be beaten in public places. Apostle Paul and his team, they were beaten. I mean, real beaten in public places. Yeah, they were attacked by angry mobs. You know, when, let's say, 50 or 100 people just surround you and they start hitting you with different kinds of weapons or stoning you. All of these things happened to these men. And yet they did not faint. Now, let me ask you, how many times have you been beaten? Have you ever been beaten before by some people in perhaps it was done in a public place? Yeah, how much hardships have you gone through that these men who are examples for us to follow haven't gone through? Yeah, he said sometimes they go without food. Yeah, a lot of sufferings. And they were happy going through all of these things. And yet they did not find offense against the people the devil was using to afflict them. You know, there's a way you... there's a way you keep experiencing some hard times, and then you might suddenly start feeling like, I don't want this anymore. Yeah, I'm not the only minister of God in the world. I'm not the only Christian in the world. I don't want to do this anymore. And then you feel like if any of those pagans, I don't know the name to use, and then you begin to say, if any of those unbelievers or whoever they call themselves near me again, I'm going to deal with them. Yeah, you know, there's a place that, I mean, you... as a human being, you can come to that point and then you feel like, I can't take this anymore. You need to fight back. You need to deal with those people. But this man did not come to that point. Yeah, this man that we are reading about in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6, they didn't come to that point. I pray you will not come to that point. I pray you will not come to the point where you feel like you don't want to look good anymore and you don't want to please God anymore. I pray you will not come to that point. In Jesus' name, let us look at another scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now let's look at it in NLT. 1 Timothy 5 or 10? So I advise these younger widows to marry again, have children, and take care of their own homes. Then the enemy will not be able to say anything against them. Let me read it again. So I advise these younger widows to marry again, have children, and take care of their own homes. Then the enemy will not be able to say anything against them. Yeah, can you see that? You know, human beings, we deceive ourselves a lot. There are some women, they would say, I'm a widow and I want to follow Jesus to the end. I'm not going to marry again, though my husband has died, but I'm not going to marry again. I'm going to marry Jesus and I'm going to follow Jesus to the end. And if they meant that with the whole of their heart, that would be very nice. Yeah, that would be very good. Because being a widow is a great opportunity to actually know God very closely. It's a great opportunity to grow spiritually. Because marriage is full of many distractions. In fact, marriage brings a lot of distractions, which I'm sure even the widow knows that. Yeah, but we have some widows, I don't know the adjective to qualify them. Would I say they don't have wisdom, or would I say they are prana? Yeah, some widows who we say, I don't want to marry again. I'm going to marry Jesus. But yet, they are having lust. They are still having lust toward the opposite sex. They are still burning with lust. Yeah. They have not really sought God to find the grace to stay unmarried. Yeah, they have not sought God to find the grace to, you know, to conquer that part of the human nature that wants to be with opposite sex. But they are saying, I don't want to marry anymore. I want to marry, I'm marrying Jesus. That is foolishness. Yeah, and that will bring reproach to the name of Christ, to the cross of Christ in the process of time. It will bring reproach to the cross of Christ. So when you know that if you can't control those sexual urges that comes up within you, you know that you have not gotten the grace. Yeah, maybe the highest you can stay, without touching a man, maybe some few months. You know you have not gotten the grace to actually stay forever without a man. Then pray and seek help from your pastors to also pray for you that God will give you that was what Apostle Paul was telling Timothy in that place, because he knew that those younger widows, they still want to be with men. They still want to marry. Yeah. So he was advising that they should marry so that they don't bring reproach, so that the enemy, let me read it again. Yeah, it says, so I advise these younger widows to marry again. In fact, he said they should have children and take care of their own homes. Then the enemy will not be able to see anything against them. Yeah, because we have seen cases where these widows, they now start seducing even the brothers, the men in the church. And eventually, they start polluting themselves with all kinds of men. Different kind of men, even men of God included, yeah, start coming into their house to sleep with them. They now turn into prostitutes. Yeah, so we should be wise. Let us also look at some few more scriptures before we round off the teaching. Let us look at Romans 2, verse 23 to 24. Romans 2. Romans 2, okay, 23 to 24. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Yeah, what Paul was saying here is that you should not dishonor God's law by breaking of the law. Yeah. And I think that is common with self-righteous people. They condemn other people. They say, oh, look at that one. His or her life is so full of immoralities. He's a wicked person. He's a sinful man. But they themselves are also going contrary to the law of God. But secretly, they are also doing things that is contrary to the law of God. Yeah, but because they are not doing the things some set of people are doing, so they become so bold to speak against those people. Yeah. So we should be careful. As you know, saying, before you point to another man, before you point to the stick that is in the eyes of another man, remove the one that is in your own eyes first. Yeah, before you point to the fault in another man's life, correct the fault in your own life first. And I pray you be wise in Jesus' name. Also, let us look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Timothy 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Yeah, this part is referring to those who are working under masters. So which can be likened to those who are employed nowadays, those who are employed, those who have masters or boss over them. Yeah, the Bible says, make sure you give them full honor, full respect. Even if your master or your boss happen to be an unbeliever, make sure you still give that person full respect. Make sure you give that person full honor. Why? So that the name of God will not be blasphemed, so that the name of the Lord will not be reproached. You know, because in the future, that boss might start having interest about following Jesus, about serving Jesus, about becoming born again. Yeah, but if you who calls yourself a Christian, have dealt with him unjustly or righteously, it might discourage him from becoming a Christian. There are some people who, after seeing the lifestyle of some Christians and the ministers of God, they made a vow with themselves that they would never become a Christian. Because of the experience they had with those so-called Christians and ministers of God. So they made a vow that they would never become a Christian. Yeah, that they would never serve God. So we should not be the reason why some people will be making such vows, such decisions. So, be a good example of a Christian, even in your place of work. Honor your bosses, respect them, and it will be well with you. In Jesus' name. The last scripture we're going to look at before we round off. Titus 2, verse 5. disciples too. Verse 5. Maybe I should start from verse 4. Titus 2, verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, verse 5 says, to be discreet, taste, keepers at home, good, obedience to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You can see some women will say, the Bible did not command them to love their husbands. That the Bible only said, husbands should love their wives. You can see it here that even the wives should love their husbands. Yeah. And not only that. In verse 5 it says, even the wives should obey their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I don't know the Bible our sisters in the church are reading. I don't know the Bible they are reading. If it's the same Bible, then they should know that God wants them to do His will in their marriages. And they should know that they are not doing those things because of the husband, but so that the name of the Lord, the word of God, be not blasphemed. Yeah, the role of the woman in the marriage is beyond the husband. It is beyond toward the husband. It's about God. You are serving God. When you obey your husband, you are serving God. When you love your children, you are serving God. It's not about the children. It's not about the husband. It's about God. And the same applies to the man. When the man loves his wife, take care of his wife, it's not about the wife, it's about God. So when the Bible says, obey your husband, submit to him, and then you think it's about the husband, so women will say, even the man doesn't deserve that I submit to him. He treats me badly. He doesn't even care. He doesn't love me. That is not why, or how should I say it? That doesn't give you right. Yeah, that's the word. That doesn't give you the right to disobey your husband and to dishonor him, and to disrespect him, and to not submit to him. Yeah, the fact that the husband doesn't seem to care or doesn't seem to show love to you, yeah, those are women, they interpret love in different ways. So, but the fact that you feel that the husband doesn't seem to care about you, love you, doesn't mean you should now stop doing body as commanded by the scriptures. Yeah, doesn't mean you should stop obeying him, submitting to him. Yeah, if you call yourself a Christian sister, and you are saying, let the man love me, then I will submit to him. You are not a Christian. I'm telling you the truth. You are violating the scriptures. You are doing contrary to the word of God. Because your duty, your marriage is to God, not to man. It is primarily to God, not to man. So when you take care of your children, you are serving God doing that. When you love your children, you are serving God doing that. It's not just about your children. It's about God. When you love your spouse, you are serving God doing that. So which means when you stop loving your spouse, and you stop submitting to him, you are sinning against God. So it's not about your spouse. It's beyond that. I guess nobody's telling couples, I mean Christian couples, this truth. That is beyond man, is about God. Yeah, though the unbelievers, they feel like the man has to deserve the respect. I can't just respect a man that doesn't respect me. But it's not the same for believers. Yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same. If you don't correct that mindset now, and then you go into marriage, the name of God will be blasphemed through your marriage. The word of God will be blasphemed through your marriage. Yeah, so you must get it right now. Or maybe you're already married. You must correct that mindset now. I pray the Lord will help you. Yeah, because some women, they feel like, I can't. In fact, 80% of women all over the world, whether they are Christians or non-Christian, they find it very hard to submit to their spouses. Yeah, that is a ticket to hellfire. I'm telling you. That is a ticket to hell. That is why many women will go to hell. Because they can't submit to their spouses. I'm telling you this truth. Yeah, you know, I see revelations in law. I'm telling you that one of the reasons why many women are in hell right now is because they did not submit to their spouses. Yeah, so I pray that you will be different. And I think it will be easy for you if you see it as service to God, not to your husband. So I'm going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on our Telegram platform. And let us pray. Father, we thank you for your faithful. Thank you for everything you have taught us during the class. For showing us how it is expedient that we do everything from a heart viewed with the right motive. Thank you for showing us that we should do good from a pure heart, from a right heart, that we should have right motives for everything we do. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here to repent where necessary and correct themselves. In Jesus' name, I pray for women among us here who are married and those who are planning to get married. I pray that you help them to obey the scriptures in their marriages, so that they would not bring reproach to your name through their lifestyles and character. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. All your spirit. Amen.